James raises the question in James chapter 4, verse 14, what is your life? What is your life? Last week I heard a couple of guys talking on the radio, and what they said reminded me very much of that passage. They were discussing the recent execution of a fellow, I believe he was from Texas, and he had been convicted of kidnapping and murdering a young girl back in 1998. They were discussing the fact that there never was any real hard evidence brought against this fellow. All of the evidence with which they convicted him was, and one of these guys was a lawyer, all of the evidence, they said, was purely circumstantial. In order to understand this story better, I think you need to understand that these two guys who were discussing this are very much against the death penalty. And that had a little bit to do with driving their discussion. This fellow who was executed had gone through five different appeals and had five stays of execution granted to him over the course of 21 years, but finally was executed last week. They were discussing how this affects other people, outside, of course, the family of the victim and those who were intimately involved in the case and so forth. The discussion was, well, who cares about things like this? And one of them made the comment, in another week or two, when all of the news settles down, it'll be moved on away from and forgotten because you don't remember this. It's not a part of your daily life. It's not a part of your daily life. Now, the point that they made, the immediate point that was made, is very true. Whatever the gentleman's name was who was executed will be forgotten very soon, with the exception of just a few people who may have been connected to that case. Because actually, it is not a part of our daily lives. It's not something that we see every day. It's not something that we're reminded of every day. And so the statement, it's not a part of your daily life, is a valid statement. But that got me to thinking about that verse in James chapter 4, verse 14. What is your life? What is your life? And more importantly, what is your daily life? For the purpose of our discussion this evening, I'd like to break that down into two parts. And let's think, first of all, about the word daily. Believe it or not, the word daily is an important word in Scripture. It's an important word to us. Daily is usually used as an adjective. And in the case of this sentence, it is a word which modifies or enlarges the meaning of the word, the noun, life. Daily is a term that we use to actually measure an interval, a frequency. And if we say that something goes on daily, then that generally means to us that's something that happens every day. It's done on a daily basis. Now, what about my daily life? What is my daily life? I get up every morning at a certain time, and I'm at work by 7 in the morning, and I work until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, unless overtime's involved or something special, and then I go home. And I've always, just like you, I've got 100 things waiting for me to take care of. And I'm usually on the go somehow, some way, in some manner or other until it's finally time to go to bed, get some rest, because tomorrow we got to do it again, because this is my daily routine. Do we see Christianity as a part of our daily life, or is Christianity a weekly affair? Is Christianity and the life that we live as a Christian something that plays into every minute of every day of our life, or is it mainly just something that we really have to hammer ourselves into at 9 or 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening, maybe at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon? I'm so thankful for every day that God blesses me with. I'm thankful for every feature of every day. I'm thankful for the routine. I'm thankful for the fact that I'm able to carry on the things that I would like to do. I'm thankful that God gives me the health and the abilities and the opportunities to do the things that I'm able to do. I'm thankful for every aspect of my daily life. I'm even thankful for those hurdles that come my way from time to time, because I think I've got a pretty fair understanding of the fact that those hurdles are good for me. They help me to grow stronger spiritually and to be better prepared for whatever it is that's coming in the future that I cannot see right now. I'm thankful for every aspect of every single day. There's a song that we sing sometimes, and I'd like to use it as an illustration. I thought about us singing it together, but maybe it'll be better for me just to read a couple of verses to you. It's a song entitled Day by Day. And I believe it speaks to this very thing that we're thinking about. The song says, day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil and peace and rest. Every day the Lord Himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He wants to bear, to cheer me, He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection for His child and treasure is a charge that on Himself He laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me He made. Help me then in every tribulation so to trust Thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within Thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, ere to take as from a father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Again, I'm so thankful for every day. I'm thankful that God gives me the opportunities to live, to serve, to worship, to rejoice. I mentioned a few minutes ago the importance of that word daily in Scripture. Don't know if you've thought about that or not, but it's an interesting study to look and read some of the passages that use the word daily. There is a great deal for us to learn regarding what our days consist of just by these four or five brief passages. For example, Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. There, Luke records the fact that these, the church members in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Surely I think we'd all agree that there really ought not ever pass a day in our lives when we do not examine the scriptures. What better way is there to begin a day than to begin in the study of God's Word? What better day is there, a better way is there to end a day than to end it by studying God's Word? However, wherever, whenever you choose to do it, it's a good thing every day. And so, what's a part? What's a part of my daily life? How about Bible study? That, I think we'd all have to agree, would certainly be, ought to be, a part of my daily life. And then there's that statement that Jesus made in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. When he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, just to make sure we don't have any doubts about whether or not that word daily really is significant, I did a little bit of research in as much as my somewhat uneducated mind was able to do. And the word daily in the Greek language, the word that's translated into English, daily, means just exactly what it says. It is a reference to a regular and consistent interval of time. And so when Jesus says, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me, of necessity, we need to be able to read that passage and to think in terms of the Lord says that I should be willing to deny myself daily and take up my cross daily and follow him daily, not weekly, not two or three times a month, but daily. Now, this matter of self-denial, that gets into some tricky territory so far as a lot of people are concerned, because after all, we kind of like ourselves a lot, generally speaking. In fact, it's a necessity for some of us to like ourselves because nobody else does. But anyway, we are mostly fond of ourselves. And so when it comes down to denying ourselves, that's something that makes us a little bit apprehensive. Think about it in terms of what I want versus what God wants me to do. What I'm looking forward to versus what God is looking forward to me doing. Deny yourself daily. To deny oneself is to keep self under control so that self does not become the prominent feature of our lives. And it's pretty obvious in our culture today that a lot of people have already gone way past that point. Deny yourself daily. And take up your cross. Cross-bearing is something that has always fascinated us. You remember that it is said that Jesus was forced to bear his own cross in a physical way. What the Lord is talking about here in this passage, though, is a figurative reference to doing whatever needs to be done for the sake of his cause, whether we feel like it's our job to do it or not. If we're able to do it and we have the opportunity to do it, we need to be willing to do it. Whether or not it's enjoyable, whether or not it's something that we've looked forward to, we should take up our cross daily. and follow Him daily. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Sunday and Wednesday night. But daily. There's another verse or two in Scripture that contains that word daily. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. But exhort one another. Some versions use the word encourage. But encourage one another daily. Or day by day, the English Standard Version says. As long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage one another. And we understand we do that when we come together in the sense that we're together now for corporate worship. And we know that it's our task sometimes to encourage folks who might be sick or in dire circumstances. We say a kind word, we send them a card, we call upon them with a visit. But you know, outside of those three or four items that we've kind of designated as our encouragement things, I'm not so sure we spend a lot of time looking for ways that we can be an encouragement to others. There's so many of you who do such a good job of speaking encouraging words to me as a gospel preacher. And I know from 20 plus years of observation that there are many of you who do take every opportunity to do the right thing and to seek out those who need encouragement with everything from covered dishes to cards to visits to phone calls. We need to be more encouragement minded. It needs to be a part of every day. Our daily life. There's one other verse, and we find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You'll recall that 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is the place where Paul goes through a list of many of the things that he has suffered as a direct result of his allegiance to God and his work as a gospel preacher. And he talks about all of the physical problems that he's gone through and endured, the hardship. And then he says in verse 28, and apart from the other things, some translations say, and in addition to these, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. The daily pressure on me of my concern for all of the churches. I'm not so sure that if I had been a member of the Corinthian Church of Christ, that I would have been able to read that verse without having a tear of gratitude come to my eye to know that to the Apostle Paul, the most important consideration in his life concerning earthly things was his concern for the spiritual welfare of those that he had taught and led and helped. I don't know how much you concern yourself with the overall spiritual welfare and health of this congregation. I can tell you as an elder of this congregation, and it absolutely should be this way, there is never a day that goes by but that I'm not thinking and concerned about the good of this church. As I say, that's exactly as it should be. But the fact is, it is in a certain measure a job for every single one of us to be concerned for the strength and the health of this congregation, of this church family. And so every day, my daily life ought to include things like the study of God's Word, the denying of myself and taking up my cross and following Jesus every day, daily. The encouragement that those around me need that I'm able to give, and the concern for this church. I'm pretty sure that for some of us, let me back up. I'm fairly sure that for some members of this church family, we could paint the walls purple and the ceiling yellow, and it might be a while before they found out about it. Now, that's a really crude illustration to draw attention to the fact that we've got so many things on our minds that we sometimes don't really pay that close attention to the things that ought to be some of the most important things in our lives. The concern for the strength, the health, and the growth of this church. I can promise you that the eldership here has that at the highest level of their concerns. But it is additionally something that every single one of us needs to have as a part of our daily life. Daily. Took a little bit too much time on the daily part, but I want to take a couple of minutes and think about life. Our daily life. And again, James asked the question, what is your life? I was doing some reading recently, and I came across a very interesting story that a man who is a minister for some kind of church, not really sure what or who, but he asked every member of his congregation on a certain Sunday to come dressed in their work clothes. If they wore a uniform during the week, then to wear that uniform. And he said, on that designated day, everyone came wearing the clothing that they normally dress in to go to work, and obviously there were some. There were policemen, there were firemen, there were those who wear some other kind of uniform, and it was really obvious what they do. He said the interesting thing was that many of those careers that we had in that congregation kind of caught everybody else by surprise. He said we knew that little about one another. That caused me to get the church directory down, the last pictorial directory that I had close at hand. I believe it was 2017. And I went through every page and I just penciled in the occupation of the head of the household on every page. I think I know most of you pretty well, but actually there were two or three that I could only put a question mark. Well, you know how the old brain works. That caused me to begin to think about something. How well do we pay attention to one another, and how much do we know about one another outside the walls of this building? And the little bit that you know about my daily life Is that mostly your fault or is that mostly my fault? When we come, as we've come today to assemble and worship, do we only want to be seen in our Sunday persona? Think about that. Do we only want people to see us as we are on Sunday? Is there anything about the Monday through Friday stuff that we really would rather our brothers and sisters not know about, not see? Now turn that around the other way and ask yourself, Monday through Friday, am I always worried that somebody's going to see my Sunday persona and I might be embarrassed or made fun of? Well, obviously, the answer to all of this dilemma is that there really shouldn't be a Sunday persona and a Monday through Friday persona. But actually, there usually is. And maybe we should let the knowledge of that fact cause us to try a little bit harder to be the very same on Monday as we are here today on Sunday. The very same on Friday night, the same person as we are on Wednesday night in Bible study. You say, well, preacher, there are some obvious situations, you know, that I understand. I know we are really, really good at justifying to ourselves why we need to sometimes act like our Christianity needs to be kept secret. Again, James chapter 4. Verse 14, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You're but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Of all of the things that don't need to be a part of your daily life, your service to God is certainly not one of those things. Our Christianity must be a prominent part of our daily lives. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, we hope you'll do it tonight. If you have done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, we hope you'll come back tonight and be restored. God is waiting with open arms. All it takes is the right decision on our part. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.